This is Morning Edition from NPR News with special coverage of today's plane crashes into the World Trade Center in New York City. I'm Bob Edwards. Two aircraft crashed into the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan about 18 minutes apart. These incidents occurred about an hour ago, Eastern Time. The FBI is investigating whether the planes were hijacked. President Bush was in Sarasota, Florida this morning to speak about education. He called today's incident a terrorist attack.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. I have spoken to the Vice President, to the Governor of New York, to the Director of the FBI, and have ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act. Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
President Bush speaking this morning in Florida. He is on his way back to Washington now, cutting short his visit to Florida, where he was to promote his education programs this morning, reading to elementary school children. The president may be the only one in the air at this hour. The Federal Aviation Administration has grounded air traffic in the United States because of reports that these planes that crashed into the World Trade Center today, these planes were hijacked, so the FAA has grounded these air traffic. One of the towers of the World Trade Center appears to have completely collapsed. I am obviously watching television pictures. At least a good part of one tower has fallen to the ground. This is a 110-story building. Each of the two towers is 110 stories high. NPR's Jackie Leiden is in Brooklyn, New York, and she can see the World Trade Center from where she is. Jackie?
Well, I think it's fair to say that at this grave hour I can see the enormous columns of smoke where one of the trade towers used to be. Obviously, we don't know the extent of this horrendous damage at this time, and it'll be some hours before we do. What we do know is that this is a spectacularly brilliant morning in New York. Yesterday morning was thunderclouds and rain, and so the people behind this would have had a strikingly, a poor choice of words, a very, very clear target to strike this morning. You may be able to hear sirens behind me. I'm in Brooklyn, Bob, but every conceivable manner of emergency vehicle is in a convoy past this building on its way into Manhattan. You can hear helicopters overhead. I'm sure those are city helicopters. We are trying to sort this out at this hour, and one of the frustrating things is that telecommunications in New York is damaged, and so being able to talk to each other is limited. My mobile phone service, for example, is completely dead.
And not to raise alarm, but there have been reports that this could be a wider thing. Reports of a plane crash at the Pentagon. The West Wing of the White House has been evacuated as a precaution. The Treasury Building, the United States Capitol Building. We're going now to NPR's Jim Zaroli, who's in our New York Bureau. Jim, what do you have? Jim Zaroli, are you here?
Hello.
Jim.
Hi. Well, I can tell you, you know, as Jackie indicated, it's a pretty chaotic time in New York City right now. There's ever since the first explosion happened at 8:45 in the morning at one World Trade Center, then about 18 minutes later, the second happened. There is an enormous amount of smoke and confusion and noise. Everywhere you go, you're hearing emergency vehicles, ambulances, fire trucks. In addition, the authorities have pretty much shut down much of the lower half of Manhattan. Bridges, tunnels have been sealed off. The three airports have been closed. Meanwhile, we're starting to hear reports of casualties. the people are beginning to come into the hospitals. It is obviously the World Trade Center is a the center of the financial world in New York. 40,000 people work there. In addition, at that time of morning, a lot of people would have been traveling through the Trade Center on the subway, on the PATH train, coming to work in nearby buildings. There's a potential for a lot of casualties there.
Mr. Alex Chachesky is joining us now. Mr. Chachesky, are you there?
Yes, hi. Greb Chachesky, yes.
What did you see this morning?
I was on my way to work across the Brooklyn Bridge, and I was about a third of the way across heading to Manhattan when I saw a plane. And they're never on this approach on the East River because I walk it every day. And it was coming in over the Manhattan Bridge towards Lower Manhattan. And it banked very slightly towards Brooklyn, which told me that there was something wrong. And I thought it was going to crash. And then all of a sudden it swung over as if it was going towards Newark Airport and hit the World Trade Center dead on.
Was this the first of the two?
This was the first plane. And then I was walking across the bridge. I thought it was an accident. And I wonder whether to turn back, figuring Lower Manhattan would be shut down. And I made it across the, it's three-quarters of the way across the bridge, probably, and I was standing there with somebody I'd met who I know, and we watched as the other plane came in and hit it. I saw the other plane just as it sort of impacted the second plane.
So you didn't get a good look at the second plane?
No, I only saw it just as it hit.
Describe the first plane.
The first plane was, and I'm not very good at planes, it would have been like a 747, 737. It was a fairly large plane. It would have held like maybe 120 to 150 people, and it was silver undersides. The top, my memory is it was orange, but I'm not sure. I didn't recognize it as a particular brand. I didn't look up and say, oh, that's Delta, or oh, that's US Air.
But it was a commercial airliner.
That's the impression I got. It could have been a package service for all I know, but it was definitely a larger plane. It wasn't a small plane.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, certainly.
Jim Zaroli, back to you.
Yeah, it is an amazing sight to see the two towers of the Trade Center, both billowing smoke, and it looked to be a large part of the towers were damaged. Just a little while ago, we had this number two World Trade Center, the top part of it, which had been badly damaged, a lot of smoke, looked like it had toppled over. So there's obviously been an enormous amount of damage and confusion down there.
This is having ramifications everywhere. Air travel has been shut down at every airport across the country. Tunnels and roads into and out of Manhattan have been shut down. Trading at the New York Stock Exchange has been suspended. The Pentagon, the Capitol Building, the White House, the State Department, and the Treasury Building here in Washington all have been evacuated. According to U.S. officials and eyewitnesses, an aircraft crashed into the Pentagon today, setting off an explosion, throwing people off their feet inside the building, and setting off a massive fire. And one eyewitness said the plane appeared to be an airliner. So precautions are being taken as if this were a coordinated terrorist attack, as President Bush indicated this morning. Again, the president is on his way back to Washington. He was in Florida promoting his education themes. NPR's Tom Jelton is at the Pentagon. Tom, do you know anything more about this crash, this report of a crash at the plane crash at the Pentagon?
Yeah, Bob, I was just evacuated from the Pentagon along with the thousands of other people who work there. You know, 23,000 people work at the Pentagon. A plane did crash into the what's essentially the southwest side of the building. There's smoke all over that part of the building, and it's billowing into the courtyard. It's impossible to get close for a good view of it, but that entire side of the Pentagon is blackened. I couldn't see the aircraft itself, so I couldn't tell you how large it was. The entire area around the crash site has been cordoned off. As you can imagine, there are helicopters, fire trucks, police, a lot of military personnel have been sort of instantly mobilized to herd people away from the Pentagon. But I did overhear on the radios of security personnel that there are people trapped inside the Pentagon who are unable to get out, trapped by smoke. The plane crashed into what, in fact, is a new wedge at the Pentagon. It has just been under construction. And we don't know, as I say, casualties. Some offices were clearly destroyed. There are a lot of distraught people. I spoke to one Air Force colonel who just happened to be down the hall when the plane hit, and he said it hit right into his office. He's extremely upset because he doesn't know who was injured there, but there clearly was a major attack on the Pentagon this morning.
A reminder, you're listening to NPR special coverage of this morning's tragic events, which began about an hour and 20 minutes ago when a plane struck the World Trade Center building in New York City. A second plane struck the second tower moments later, and part of one of those towers has since collapsed. Back to Tom Jelton now at the Pentagon.
Bob, who knows what's going on? Just before I was evacuated, I showed up at the Pentagon. I actually parked in the Pentagon North parking lot, and just as I parked, I saw a helicopter come swooping around, but there was not any sign of smoke when I got there. And just a few minutes later, of course, came the order to evacuate. But just before that, I had been speaking with a senior military officer, and he told me that the DOD had mobilized its crisis action team. This is a special Pentagon team that's mobilized in times of crisis or national emergency. It obviously works very closely with other agencies. And they already at that point, this was about a half hour ago or so, already at that point did have information that one of the planes that struck the World Trade Center had in fact been hijacked. So the assumption clearly is that this was a terrorist attack. And now that a plane has hit the Pentagon, it has to be considered not only a coordinated terrorist attack, but a very well-organized one, a very broad conspiracy, and one which the U.S. intelligence community was completely unprepared for. There was no threat condition alert at the Pentagon this morning. Evidently, there was no warning of this whatsoever. You know, the U.S. intelligence community casts a very wide net, but this one clearly caught it off guard.
And again, for what it's worth, the Reuters news agency is quoting Abu Dhabi television as saying it had received a call from the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine, claiming responsibility for this morning's actions. Going back to New York briefly now to Mr. Stanley Mises. Are you there, sir?
I am.
And what did you see this morning?
Well, this morning I was sitting in my my breakfast table when I heard this loud explosion. I ran downstairs and I saw smoke billowing out of the World Trade Center, and then just moments later another hit, and I live close to a mile away from the Trade Center, and you could feel the heat. You could feel the heat right where I was standing, at least a mile away. It was unbelievable. Then later we're standing, I mean, it's so mind-boggling you can't imagine, with thousands of people running across the avenue in every which direction. It's day of the locust squared. You can't imagine what it's like. Then, finally, when things seemed to be calmed, I mean, calmed in the sense that, you know, we were watching the World Trade Center's two towers just billowing with smoke, suddenly the second Trade Center began to collapse, and there was a shower, like a meteorite shower, of sparks and debris and dust and a cloud of smoke, and the cloud of smoke seemed to come out of nowhere and traveled with a speed that was so frightening that people seemed to emerge out of a fog running away from it. It's the most terrifying thing I have ever witnessed in my life.
Mr. Stanley Mises in New York, thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Tom Jelton at the Pentagon?
Well, Bob, I can certainly reinforce those comments. The Pentagon attack was obviously far less serious than what happened at the World Trade Center. Nevertheless, there are many people missing, and there was a lot of anguish in the courtyard of the Pentagon. Just as I exited from the Pentagon a few moments ago, I was next to one man who could not locate his fiancée, who works in that area where the plane hit. So the Pentagon is very well guarded. It's near National Airport. There is significant air traffic control all around this area. But clearly, they were unable to stop this plane from crashing into the Pentagon. It underscores the vulnerability of the United States to determined terrorist attacks. These would clearly be suicide-type attacks. And, of course, there's been a lot of controversy about what kinds of threats the United States faces from its adversaries overseas. This administration has focused on the threat that could come from a long-range missile attack, but others have pointed out that lower technology type attacks are perhaps a greater danger, and certainly what has happened this morning would seem to support that.
Back to New York for another eyewitness report. Ginger Miles, are you there?
Okay.
Can you tell us what you saw today?
Bob, what is more pressing is what we are experiencing right now. Our building is a block east of the Trade Towers, and I did see the explosions, and I worried about whether or not we should evacuate, but we thought not to because the street was so bad, and some part of the structure collapsed, and it's not on fire, but our whole apartment and the whole building is full of smoke, and we can't get out the front door because there's so much smoke debris there, but we're told that it's not fire. The streets right now are completely empty. So we've wet a bunch of towels. We've just wet a bunch of towels. I've just put my cat in a carrier. Cars are covered with dust. My whole apartment is covered with dust. So it looks like, though, that I don't think fire is going to be our problem. So that's all.
And you're one block from the World Trade Center?
East, yeah. East, one block east. Yep.
How high up are you?
11th floor. 11th floor.
Can you see out your window?
Yeah.
What's going on
out there? It's dust. I mean, you know, in other words, this is what we feared, that there would be an aftershock or whatever you call it. We can not even see the top of the Trade Towers where the fire is.
It's not there anymore.
He thinks one is not there anymore. Oh God, you can probably see it better than I can.
Yes, one of the towers, the upper part of it at least, has collapsed.
Well, that's what happened. That's why we have so much dust. That's because the dust, you know, it didn't fall on us, but it fell close enough that it created a huge noise and then filled our house with smoke. We ran down the stairs only to discover that we couldn't get out. Nor would we even want out, because it's so smoky out there. And now we just got a suitcase of wet towels, and my roommate wants to talk to you here.
Yeah, so it seems like, the South Tower disappeared, and we have a huge dust cloud which engulfed the whole block on Broadway and the area. And right now I see some people coming on the street with masks, and it's just... like after a blizzard, you know, it looks like covered gray dust about from up here, 11th floor, it looks like.
So you couldn't get out of your building?
We went all the way down to about the second floor, but the dust was so thick, though, you couldn't go in there. We couldn't breathe. So we went, I thought it was better to go back up where we had some air. So, and then now the dust settled, so it looks like, I mean, I don't know what happened to all those people who were down there. And it's at least, I mean, on Broadway, on the car, it's about a 3-inch cover with dust, the cars on Broadway, just right up two blocks south of City Hall.
What about other people in your building? Are they trapped in their apartments?
When we were down, they all came to the conclusion it's better to stay in, and once we figured out it wasn't fire, it was just dust from the building. Now I can see one tower, the north tower is still standing, but the south tower disappeared because just one thing, just not here anymore.
So the dust from the collapsed tower is what you think you're...
I think that's, I'm quite sure that it's completely covered the area. And that's, I mean, I could hear when it came, it sounded like a hurricane, and the building was shaking. And I thought maybe there's another plane hitting the area or something, but I think it was the dust from the collapsing, building, which we think so. It doesn't. I don't see any structural damage to buildings or everything's just covered with dust, and a few cars drove into the sidewalk, I guess, because it was probably turned the day into night.
So you think the dust will settle and you'll be able to get out?
I can see from the 11th floor down to it's kind of. I mean, it's still in the air, but it dissipated. You know, the visibility, I would say, is about 50 or 100 yards.
Again, to remind our listeners, this is an eyewitness speaking to us from New York, just a block from the World Trade Center, which was attacked this morning by two planes, one plane hitting one tower, another plane hitting the second tower, the 110-story New York World Trade Center. One of those towers is no longer 110 stories. The upper part of it has collapsed, and the dust from that collapse is now engulfing this gentleman's apartment building, and he can't get out. There's also been a plane crash at the Pentagon, where NPR's Tom Jelton is standing by. Tom, what else do you know?
Well, Bob, I certainly can confirm that there was a direct hit on the Pentagon by an aircraft. I saw it. I didn't see it happen, but I saw the aftermath of it. I could not get close enough to actually see the point of impact and how much damage was done, nor could I determine what kind of plane it was. I'm now about three or four blocks southwest of the Pentagon, and now police, even in this area at this distance, are rushing people away. There are sirens going off around me. They're trying to get people even further away from the Pentagon. Clearly, at this point, it's hard to distinguish between what would be cautionary moves and moves that are in response to other events. I have, for example, just heard that the U.S. Capitol has been evacuated, the House and the Senate. That clearly was a precautionary move. Nothing has happened there. But when you've got a coordinated terrorist attack like this on the economic, financial, military institutions of our country, the security forces clearly feel they need to evacuate all the vulnerable points, and the Pentagon has been evacuated, and now we understand the Capitol as well.
Reports are that the planes that hit the World Trade Center may have been hijacked, and as a result, the Federal Aviation Administration has stopped air traffic at airports all across the country. Air Force One is flying. The president is returning from Florida, and NPR's Don Gagne joins us now from the White House.
Bob, I'm right across the street from Lafayette Park. At 9:41, of course, the president's not here this morning. At 9:41, the word went out from the White House, everybody out. They evacuated the press that was there, staff that was there. We could see people coming out of the White House kitchens. And initially, we all moved just onto the sidewalk in front of the White House. Then the park police came through just within moments and said, everybody across the street into Lafayette Park. Then, minutes after that, park police again swept through and moved us all to the far north of the park. To the far north end of the park before eventually police, some of them with machine guns, telling us to stand across the street, that we move across the street. So that's my vantage point right now, literally a block away from the White House, and I'm looking toward the front entrance. It's relatively quiet right now. There have been sirens everywhere, police trucks, fire trucks, police cars. Even at one point, about 10 minutes ago, alone a lone U.S. military fighter jet flew overhead and headed from the north, or from the south to the north, from the Mall area, and then as it got over the White House, headed to the west. It was at a pretty high altitude. But that's what we know right now. No official word from anyone here on what actually may have prompted the evacuation at the White House, other than just a precautionary measure.
It's so difficult at the moment in all this confusion to sort out fact from other types of reports. Here is a bulletin from the Associated Press that says a car bomb exploded outside the State Department, according to a senior law enforcement officials. Again, that's just an initial report. We don't know for sure. Maybe we'll find out more about that in a bit. Don, a while ago I saw a television picture of the White House in the Executive Office Building, and it was a long shot, so it was difficult to pick out, but there was smoke.
I saw just wisps of that smoke in the air. The smoke would have been coming from the south side. Of course, I'm on the north side, which is where the press entrance is, and I haven't been able to get around much from where they've told us all to wait right here. So I can't say what that was or how close it might have been or frankly, I haven't seen the TV pictures either to be able to compare that to what I saw.
Don, thank you very much, and we'll be getting back to you.
Okay, I'll be here.
Just to recap for our listeners, about an hour and a half ago, an airplane flew into one of the World Trade Center towers in Lower Manhattan in New York City. About 15 or 20 minutes later, a second plane hit the other tower of the World Trade Center. Moments later, there was a report of a plane crash at the Pentagon. There are reports that these planes were hijacked. Therefore, the Federal Aviation Administration has grounded air traffic in the United States. President Bush was not in the White House. He was in Florida this morning, promoting his education program. He is on his way back to Washington at this hour. There have been other ramifications. Trading at the New York Stock Exchange has been suspended. The Pentagon, the Capitol Building, the White House, the State Department, and the Treasury Building have all been evacuated as a precaution against more of what President Bush this morning characterized as an apparent terrorist attack. Tom Gelton is at the Pentagon. Tom?
Yeah, Bob, not exactly at the Pentagon, but certainly as close to the Pentagon as just about anybody can get right now, certainly a normal person like myself. I walked about three blocks west of the Pentagon. My cell phone was not working. As you can imagine, a lot of people are on their cell phones. I stopped at the first house with an open door that I could find, and a man, cooperative, nice man by the name of Brian Perdue was here watching television. Bob, let me put him on the phone if you don't mind for a minute, because he can talk about what he heard in the moments before the plane crash.
Mr. Perdue?
Hello.
Hi, Bob Edwards, the
yes.
NPR. Tell us what you saw.
Well, I didn't see anything. I was upstairs watching TV about the bombing or the plane crash in the World Trade Center, and all of a sudden I heard a very low flying plane, and there's no way it could have been a single engine plane. There's no way it could have been a single engine plane, and I knew it crashed because I heard the noise, and the window shook in my house, and I'm like, I've got to get out of here. I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, everyone else close by is you know, it's around, and I'm like, I mean, it's really scary. Really scary.
So you're thinking it's a larger plane?
I definitely think it was a larger plane. I mean, it was the noise and the way it flew by, or it sounded like it landed in the backyard. And I guess literally it did. I mean, I'm right. My backyard is pretty much at the Pentagon. So, I mean, it was bigger than a single engine plane. I'm almost positive of that.
But you couldn't tell if it was a commercial airliner or not.
No, sir, I could not.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
NPR's Jackie Lydon is in Brooklyn. Jackie?
Well, I think the most critical thing right now for New Yorkers is to hear from the mayor. And the mayor, ironically, Rudolph Giuliani, had built a command and control center for disasters of this kind in Tower 7 of the World Trade Center. It, of course, has been completely cut off. Thus, there's a great deal of frustration. There's been no word of casualties, no reports yet by the city. Obviously, they're having difficulty getting the word out. I'm listening to local radio, our local member station, WMYC, as I listen to you. They are not sure how much longer they'll be able to be on the air. Their transmitter is down there. So we have a kind of communications crisis enveloping us here, along with what we can see. And as you know, you're hearing mostly eyewitness accounts, which have just the tiniest bit of information. I can see the World Trade Center was part of my skyline, and where the tower had been is the top of the tower, the North Tower, is just a cloud of white dust now. And with New York's Command and Control Center being in there, you can just imagine the kind of difficulties that are going on here.
Was it the North Tower that collapsed? I'm looking at a wire copy. It says it was the Southern Tower that collapsed.
Perhaps it was the Southern Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah. One of the planes, I'm also reading, one of the planes that crashed into the Trade Center was American Airlines Flight 11, hijacked after takeoff from Boston en route to Los Angeles, according to officials of American Airlines. Both towers now have collapsed. Jackie, can you see that?
Yeah, okay. Well, I can't. What I see are these clouds of smoke. Okay, well, that would make sense. I mean, a horrible kind of sense. Because I had thought for sure the North Tower, and if it's both towers, then that's what you're reading. Bob, all you can see, it's like looking at the top for me, for a lot of New Yorkers, you know, that's our Mount Everest, and the top of it, what I could normally see above the tree line, is gone. I mean, it's just clouds of white dust. It's horrifying, I have to say. It's chilling to look at, and in some ways, those of us across the river from Manhattan probably, you know, have this view the most clearly. It is just, I think, everyone's worst nightmare, and we are now living it out, sorting it out.
Jackie, thank you very much. Dr. Elliot Cohn joins me now. He is Director for Strategic Studies at Johns Hopkins. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
There is a report from the Reuters news agency, and I hope to find further information on this. Reuters quoting Abu Dhabi television, mm-hmm. as saying it had received a call from the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine, claiming responsibility for the plane crashes into the World Trade Center building this morning. Do you know anything about this group?
Yeah, they've been around for quite some time, and they're one of the more extreme and dangerous Palestinian terrorist organizations. But I think, you know, it'll take quite a while, obviously, to sort this out and figure out exactly who did what. This is clearly several very sophisticated operations to coordinate all these things, assuming that the what occurred at the Pentagon is also part of this. It bespeaks quite a large effort. And I think one thing that's very important to remember is it's very hard for these organizations to do what they do unless they have some kind of shelter or support from states.
Okay. I'm now receiving information that a spokesman for this very group denies responsibility. Yeah. This is what happens when all of these multiple reports come in and you try to sort out fact from fiction and who said what about whom. And we're very sorry if, in fact, that's the case, that that group is not responsible. But now we have a report that it is, and another that it isn't, and ultimately we'll get it squared away, and I'm sorry for the confusion.
Yeah. Well, it's going to take a while to sort it out, but I think here's what I think the key point is. What we're dealing with here is not crime. It's a hideous form of warfare. And I think the Pearl Harbor analogy is going to turn out to be roughly the right one. That is to say, in terms of the scale of loss of life, this will probably be a bigger deal, I'm afraid, than Pearl Harbor, certainly on the same scale. But the thing to remember is that this is not just the work of a couple of deranged people. This is the kind of thing that is done for political reasons, and it will require some kind of warlike response.
It's with two attacks in New York and one in Washington, one certainly gets the impression of a coordinated terrorist attack. Obviously well thought out, well planned, and clearly well executed. Who could have pulled off something like this?
Well, there are quite a few groups out there that would like to try this. One thing to remember is that a number of these organizations have various kinds of links with one another. So you may be dealing in some ways with a kind of coalition of groups. But again, I would also fall back on the issue of state sponsorship. These groups simply cannot function unless they have places that they can go where they will be sheltered by the institutions of a state. In the past, that's Syria and Iran have been two of the leading offenders, of course, Iraq as well. Without some kind of state protection, it's very, very hard for these organizations to flourish. So it's going to be a question of going both after the organizations, but also going really hard after the states. We've been rather unwilling in recent years to talk about countries as sponsors of state terrorism or facilitators, but that's what a number of them are, and we're going to need to turn the spotlight on them. Again, I'd stress there's a difference between crime and war, and this is war.
Indeed, Dr. Cohn, just think about what has just happened. I mean, the United States has practically been shut down here. All commercial flights canceled. The planes have been diverted to Canada. The stock market has stopped trading. The Pentagon, the Capitol, the West Wing of the White House, the State Department, and the Treasury all evacuated. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling rather vulnerable here. The country has been shut down, in effect.
Absolutely. But I think, you know, as awful as these events are, it's important not to lose our heads. This is the most powerful country in the world. What's going to happen as a result of this will be, I expect, a wave of fury on the part of the American people, which is entirely appropriate, and a focusing of all the enormous energy and resources this country has. And once that happens, there will eventually be results, as long as we're willing to treat this the way we should, like a war. And I'm sure people had exactly the same sense of vulnerability at the time of Pearl Harbor, and the people who launched that found out, to their later regret, that when you get the United States really, really mad, that you're going to find all kinds of resources mobilized against you, which will be absolutely overwhelming. And I'm quite confident that in the long run, however chaotic things seem, however horribly upsetting and distressing this is, the United States will be able to bounce back. This is a pretty tough country. We didn't get to be where we are without it. There will be a response.
You wonder how this could have been prevented. We have measures to guard against hijacking of airplanes, and that's what we had today, the hijacking of airplanes and the crashing them into public buildings.
Well, we haven't had nearly as active a program, I think, since the heyday of the particularly Palestinian hijackings in the 1970s. There was a real period where there was a lot of that. You had armed marshals on airplanes. We'll probably go back to that. But the point is this. I think if you really want to disrupt these organizations, you're going to have to do things we're not willing to do. And that means things like killing people. I would, by and large, the CIA now does not send people out to knock off members of organizations like this. We don't do that as a matter of policy. That may very well change. We will beat up on some states that harbor terrorists, Sudan and Afghanistan. We will not do violent things to others, like Syria and Iran. To a remarkable extent, the velvet gloves have been on in the war against terrorism. Given the history of the United States, I expect the gloves to come off.
Dr. Cohn, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Elliot Cohn, the Director for Strategic Studies at Johns Hopkins. NPR's David Wellner is on Capitol Hill. David, what's happening there?
Bob, the Capitol, as you said, was evacuated. Almost an hour ago, Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert ordered the Capitol and the surrounding office buildings to be evacuated. Of course, this is a precautionary move. There has been no attack on Capitol Hill. However, there are thousands of people who worked in these buildings who streamed out. Initially, they were just outside the Capitol. Police pushed them back one block, then two blocks, then three blocks. And just about 10 minutes ago, the order went out for everyone to go home. I just spoke with several members of Congress, House members. One of them said he had an intelligence report that there were two planes spotted in the sky that were considered potential aggressors. That is one of the reasons why members of Congress were told to get as far away as possible from the Capitol. I spoke with Congressman Ike Skelton, a Democrat from Missouri and a member of the Armed Services Committee, who said that just recently the director of the CIA warned that there could be an attack, an imminent attack on the United States of this nature. So this was not entirely unexpected. Several members of Congress have talked about the need to step up domestic defense in light of this. There's been a lot of talk about a national missile defense shield, and of course what's happened today would not be kind of event that could be stopped by such a shield. And there's talk already of shifting money into beefing up the National Guard, taking other measures to heighten security domestically to prevent what seem to be further attacks of this nature.
Of course, they have taken precautions. They take precautions every day on Capitol Hill. It's been the scene of several shootings and a bombing.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, I think that the kind of precautions they take for everybody who enters the Capitol and the adjacent office buildings gave some reassurance to those who were inside to go in this morning. I had to take out my cell phone and put it through a metal detector, plus my shoulder bag, put it through. I had to walk through a metal detector. There are also dogs that sniff out explosives. These kinds of precautions have all been instituted in the wake of Capitol shootings. And so they are on high alert all the time at the Capitol. However, when I walked into the building this morning, the World Trade Center had already been hit by these planes. I asked Capitol Police if they had been put on any special alert. They said they didn't know of any order of such sort going out. However, within half an hour, the order had come out to evacuate the Capitol.
NPR's David Wellner at the Capitol. Martin Kosty joins me now. Martin, what do you have?
Well, Bob, information is coming in from around the country that local officials are looking for similarly prominent buildings and evacuating them, making them less of a target. For example, in Chicago, the Sears Tower has been evacuated. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange has been cleared of employees. The John Hancock Center is being evacuated after the mayor's office called management there and asked them to clear out the building. It looks like they're in Chicago, they're looking at likely targets, prominent buildings, and clearing them out. In L.A., in Los Angeles right now, the police department is on what they call tactical alert. They went on that state of readiness right after news of the incident at the World Trade Center came through. There have been no threats so far, according to the Associated Press in Los Angeles, that the police know of. Officer Guillermo Campos of the Anti-Terrorist Division says they are on a citywide tactical alert in Los Angeles, and their Anti-Terrorist Division is mobilized. That means that officers from earlier shifts are held over to make sure they have extra officers on the ready. As has been reported already all morning, the air traffic has been halted. No planes are being allowed to take off. And also, some airports are now closing. That's the case in Atlanta, where no planes already early on had been allowed to leave. In downtown Atlanta, the CNN Center is closed, except for vital operations, probably. The Atlanta airport has been closed. FBI has sent agents to the scene, to the airport, but so far no specific threats have been received in Atlanta. In California, 29 Palms, the Marines say they have increased their state of readiness to what they call vigilance. So it looks like people are looking for obvious next targets, if there are any, and trying to make them less vulnerable.
Martin Kosty, thank you. Going to New York now, where Robert Mueller is at the White Horse Tavern in New York. Mr. Mueller?
Yes, sir.
What did you see today?
Lots of smoke, lots of debris, lots of people panicking, a lot of dust. It's very bad.
Where are you now in relation to the World Trade Center?
I am about a half a mile away.
And what is going on there as far as security and police?
All the police seem to be at the scene. The streets are pretty much to the people, but the people aren't panicking. There's no rioting, no looting. People are just, you know, very, very, very shocked at what's going on.
You had both towers of the World Trade Center collapse today.
Yes, they have. They're gone.
And that must have, you must have felt it.
Excuse me, I'm having trouble hearing you.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you must have felt the impact of the...
Actually, no. Just, they just crumbled. There was no impact. There was lots of debris, though, that spread over for a mile. It was very, there's like an inch of dust on the ground for a mile away from the actual World Trade Center explosion. When the second plane impacted, though, we felt the explosion, and when the first also.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Bob.
Robert Mueller, eyewitness in New York City. Again, to remind you, we're in special coverage now of events that have taken place in New York City and in Washington, D.C. today, beginning nearly 2 hours ago, when an airplane struck one of the two towers of the World Trade Center in Manhattan. Moments later, a second plane struck the second tower of the World Trade Center. The tops of those two towers have now collapsed into the streets of Lower Manhattan. A bit later, there was a plane crash at the Pentagon. And other government buildings in Washington have been evacuated as a precaution. The Pentagon, the Capitol, the White House, the State Department, and the Treasury Building. President Bush is in flight. He was in Florida this morning. He is returning to Washington, D.C. The president has described today's actions as an apparent terrorist attack. And NPR's Martin Kosty is in the studio with me. Martin.
Bob, as we're monitoring news from around the country, the air traffic has been stopped. No commercial aviation is allowed to be taking off right now. Airports are closing around the country. In Chicago, prominent landmarks are being closed. L.A. police are in a special state of readiness. Extra police are being put on around the country in many major cities. The apparent terrorist attacks are causing disbelief, especially in the West, where people are waking up to this. People are watching these incidents with horror, and the reaction coming in from local officials is that of making sure that their prominent landmarks aren't similarly attacked.
There's so many things coming in from all over the place. Somerset County Airport, 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. Is this a plane crash? I can't tell. I have the back end of a report. Secretary of State Colin Powell, who was visiting, he was in Peru this morning. He was to go to Colombia on his first official visit to South America, and he is returning to Washington following all of these reports. Martin, you have more?
Well, there's more information about the American Airlines plane that crashed into the Trade Center this morning. One of the two planes that crashed into the World Trade Center, I should say, was American Airlines Flight 11 from Boston to Los Angeles. A spokesperson for the airline says that the flight could carry up to 158 passengers. It's not clear yet how many passengers were on board. They're still trying to figure out what happened exactly there. It looks as though in places such as Texas, in Houston, and Dallas, they're also... Police are being called onto special tactical alert or variants of that sort of special readiness. Airports are closing, even with air traffic has been stopped, and airports are also closing. People are being sent home in many cities. There's a quote here from the Birmingham International Airport in Alabama, where spokeswoman Carol Windham says, "Like everyone, we're in shock, and they're grounding their planes." Heightened security is in effect at government and corporate offices nationwide, from the Army's main germ warfare defense laboratory in Frederick, Maryland, to city offices in Colorado. In Denver, a spokesman says he doesn't think any place in America right now is not at risk or doesn't feel at risk. And emergency preparedness officials in Colorado are organizing themselves. In Philadelphia, dozens of people gathered in the hotel lounge to watch television coverage and started weeping. They could not believe what they said. What they saw.
The Federal Aviation Administration has grounded air traffic in the United States today because of reports that the planes that struck World Trade Center towers in New York City were hijacked. Therefore, traffic has been diverted elsewhere. A lot of American air traffic was sent to Canada. But Air Force One is flying, bringing the president back to Washington from Florida, where he was this morning to promote his education policies. Earlier this morning, I spoke with two eyewitnesses who saw the World Trade Center blast in New York City. The first voice will be that of Stanley Mikus. The second voice will be that of Ginger Miles.
I was sitting in my my breakfast table when I heard this loud explosion. I ran downstairs and I saw smoke billowing out of the World Trade Center, and then just moments later, another hit, and I live close to a mile away from the Trade Center, and you could feel the heat. You could feel the heat right where I was standing, at least a mile away. It was unbelievable.
I was on my way to work across the Brooklyn Bridge, and I was about a third of the way across heading to Manhattan when I saw a plane. And they're never on this approach on the East River, because I walk it every day. And it was coming in over the Manhattan Bridge towards Lower Manhattan, and it banked very slightly towards Brooklyn, which told me that there was something wrong. And I thought it was going to crash, and then all of a sudden it swung over as if it was going towards Newark Airport, and hit the Brooklyn, World Trade Center dead on.
Our building is a block east of the Trade Towers, and I did see the explosions, and I worried about whether or not we should evacuate, but we thought not to because the street was so bad, and some part of the structure collapsed, and it's not on fire, but our whole apartment and the whole building is full of smoke. And we can't get out the front door because there's so much smoke debris there. But we're told that it's not fire. The streets right now are completely empty. So we've wet a bunch of towels. We've just wet a bunch of towels. I've just put my cat in a carrier. Cars are covered with dust. My whole apartment is covered with dust. So it looks like, though, that I don't think fire is going to be our problem. So that's all.
That was Ginger Miles, who's trapped in an apartment building in New York City because of all the dust from the collapse of the World Trade Center towers just a block from her apartment building. Before that, you heard from another eyewitness this morning in New York, Stanley Mikus. And we're going back to New York now for another, Kathleen Zichy. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And what can you tell us?
I can tell you that we've had a steady stream of patients at NYU Downtown Hospital since the first explosion occurred. The hospital is very well equipped to deal with the situation. Unfortunately, as we have mobilized the entire medical staff and the nursing staff, they are functioning very, very well. We were the first responder to the explosion at the Trade Center in 93. So unfortunately, we have some prior experience with situations of this nature.
You're at New York University Hospital.
We are at NYU Downtown Hospital in Lower Manhattan, and we are the only hospital in downtown New York.
That just staggers the imagination. There are going to be so many casualties in your hospital today.
There are hundreds of people here presently. We have transformed the cafeteria in order to be able to triage the patients properly. They are being handled in a very orderly way, and the staff is doing a superlative job.
Ms. Zichy, thank you very much.
I'm grateful for your call. Thank you.
To Tom Gelton now at the Pentagon. Tom?
Now standing on a hill just to the on the southwest side of the Pentagon, overlooking the Pentagon, have a very good view of the damage. There is a major fire at the Pentagon, and what's more frightening, a big notch has been taken out of the Pentagon. Of the full six-story height of the Pentagon is gone. The notch is about, I'd say, 100 feet, 75 feet wide. So it's taken out a notch of the Pentagon on the southwest side. Flames are still shooting out of there. Of course, there's a lot of black smoke. Firefighting equipment is all around. There's also flames on the ground just in front of the Pentagon there, and that, my guess, would be debris from the plane that hit into the Pentagon at that point. So clearly, fire is not under control. There are a lot of fire trucks there. There's a helicopter overhead, but there's got to be major loss of life here at the Pentagon as well as in New York.
There are five rings to the Pentagon. You're looking at the outside of the fifth, the outer ring?
That's well, the yes, but the notch goes all the way through.
Oh.
Into the, well, I can't see all the way through because of the smoke, but it's a major section, like I say, a notch in the Pentagon that is just gone.
Over to Don Gagne, who is near the White House.
Bob, we have been moved a bit further away. They keep widening the security perimeter here. I'm at the corner of Connecticut and 8th Street, able to look at the White House across Lafayette. It's actually quieted down here in the last 20 minutes or so. We're not getting any official information from any of the White House press personnel. But at 9:41 this morning, so just an hour and 15 minutes ago, the White House was evacuated. All the staff, all the press, everybody in there was brought out, and we now wait at this vantage point. There is a representative, a spokesman from the District of Columbia Fire Department here. He has just told us that they have gone to an emergency level of emergency where all off-duty personnel are being called into work. He's not able to speak to any specific threat or anything that may have actually happened at the White House, and we have not, I should make it clear, heard of anything specific. There has been a report of a fire on which would be on the south side of the White House, but he's telling us that he has gone over there and has not been able to confirm it, has not seen any smoke. There have been ambulances and fire trucks everywhere around here. But again, for now, it's quiet, and we're waiting to see if we can get some more information.
Steve Inskeep might be a little closer. He is near the State Department. Steve?
Bob, I'm actually outside the Pentagon on the highway overlooking the Pentagon. I'm looking at one of the west sides of this. I believe it is what is known as the mall entrance of the Pentagon, and looking at this enormous notch, as I think someone else described it, that has been cut in the building here. It is from the top of the building all the way down to the bottom. Pardon me while that emergency vehicle passes. All the way down to the bottom, and an enormous gap has been cut in this building. Much of the rest of the wall is blackened, and a fire truck is now spraying water on that. I spoke just a little while ago to a U.S. Army lieutenant colonel who was inside the building and not very far. He said that he was in the building. They'd actually turned on the television in the office. They were watching coverage of the explosions at the World Trade Center in New York City, and all of a sudden an enormous explosion rocked their building. They got a bunch of people together and tried to move toward the site of the explosion to rescue people, and were unable to get anywhere near because of what he described as the intense heat. And I have to tell you, Bob, it's been a little while since I've been in the Pentagon, but I believe that is an area where the United States Army has quite a few offices, including some senior officers, and at that time of the morning, it would have been very full.
NPR's Steve Inskeep at the Pentagon. Just to recap, there have been plane crashes today in New York City at the World Trade Center. Both towers, the tops of both towers, have now collapsed. There was a plane crash today at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. Government buildings have been evacuated as a precaution. The president is returning to Washington, and we will be back to you soon with more.
Support for National Public Radio comes from National Public Radio Stations and Keen, helping clients manage business performance through business consulting, e-solutions, and application outsourcing. Keen, we get IT done. Harriet and Richard Gold for support of the NPR Endowment, helping to ensure NPR's financial future. And Raymond James, listening to investors since 1962, independent advice and financial planning through over 2,000 offices coast to coast. Information at RaymondJames.com. This is NPR National Public Radio.